Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With expertise when it comes to the Cavaliers and many, many other things. We love when we listen to him on the radio here on 92.3 The Fan, and we appreciate all the information we get from him when he is writing for Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. His name is Chris Fedor, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, my friend. You get any sleep last night? It was quite a busy night for you.
I went to bed when the sun came up, so not a lot of sleep, no. I was downstairs working, and I had got done filing my story, and I turned off the lights in my house that I had on, and I kind of looked around, and I'm like, well, it's no longer dark. It's still bright in this house, and there are no more lights, so it must be the sun coming up.
Yep. Sounds like victory night after a kickball game for you. That's what it sounds like to me.
Wild night in the Fedor household.
How'd they do last night? What do you think?
I mean, I think they did good. I wrote a couple of days before the draft. I started to wonder if we were all overlooking it, because they entered this offseason knowing that they needed to add a two-way wing shooter. And last night they added a two-way wing shooter and one who's actually ready to help them now. And I thought last night, I thought last night showed a philosophical shift for the Cavs. After drafting four straight one and dones in the first round, they decided to bypass upside players like Malachi Branham, AJ Griffin, and Dalen Terry, and they decided to go with somebody who was more ready to help them right now, somebody who can bring something to this group that they don't currently have. They don't have somebody on the wing that can shoot the way that Abaji can. And now it's going to make the defense make some more decisions when he's out there on the court, and I think it's going to raise the offense's ceiling. And the thing about Abaji is they don't need him to be great, right? They don't need him to be an all-star. They just need him to fill a specific role, and I think he's more than capable of filling that specific role, especially as a rookie.
I love the depth, not counting Colin Sexton, 11 players under contract for next year. How do you sort
through? Well, now 12.
Well, and now 12. So how do you sort through this depth? Because you're not going to play 12 guys, and you bring Colin back, you're not going to play 13 guys.
Well, that's part of the reason, guys. You know, there were a lot of questions about why did they take Jop in the second round with the 39th pick. E.J. Liddell was on the board. Kendall Brown was on the board. J.D. Davidson was on the board. Some of these other guys that the Cavs brought in for workouts were all on the board. And I kept saying that there's no room for them. The reason why they drafted Jop is because they're not going to have him on the roster. They're going to stash him overseas. The reason why they used the 56th pick on an Australian swingman is because they didn't have room for another rookie. They're going to stash him overseas. Isaiah Mobley is probably going to take a two-way contract, so he's not really going to be on the NBA roster. They just don't have room for a lot of players. In the situation that they're in, now they're going to be, if they bring back Colin, like you said, Jeff and Andy, they're going to be at 13. And then you think that there's going to be a backup point guard coming. That's 14.
Yep.
And you think that there's going to be a backup center coming. That's 15. So it's going to be up to J.B. Bickerstaff to find spots for all these guys. It's going to make training camp more competitive. And there are also moves that they could potentially make throughout the course of this offseason. If they want to go that particular direction. But you know J.B. Bickerstaff. He plays about 9 or 10 guys, and it's about who's going to be the most worthy. And if Isaac Okoro, for example, doesn't continue to get better on the offensive end, you know, it's going to be hard to justify giving him the kinds of minutes that he's gotten the last 2 years, because there are other guys that are ready to actually fill those minutes and do a better job filling those minutes, potentially.
All right, so is he the odd man out, or who could be the odd man? Who are the odd man out in this, and how does this play out?
And you got Jetty and Dylan Windler, yeah, a, wing guys. You know, that's
yeah. So Jetty and Dylan are the odd men out at this point in time, and I don't think that, you know, Isaac Okoro brings something to the group that they need. He brings something to the group that is valuable, and that other guys don't, which is his defense. There's value in him taking the kinds of defensive assignments that he takes, so that somebody like Darius Garland doesn't have to take those. So as of now, just looking at the rotation and the way it projects, yeah, it's easy to say that, you know, Isaac Okoro is not going to get the same kinds of minutes that he's gotten the last couple of years. And Jetty Osman is probably going to have a tougher time getting into this rotation. And the same thing when it comes to Dylan Windler. But there's a full offseason ahead for the Cavs to try and make other moves if they want to go that direction.
Name that's not coming up very much right now, and I think it's one of the most interesting names on the roster, is Kevin Love. Final year of a contract. How's it sit with you, Chris?
Well, I think they like the cap flexibility that they're possibly going to have just by, you know, Kevin being on an expiring contract and then not having that contract on their books going into next year's offseason. So I think there's value in that. I think there's also value in bringing him back as the veteran, the stabilizer, the anchor of the second unit. He showed that he can be effective in that role. He showed that he could be happy in that particular role. So there's a place on this team for Kevin. There's no doubt about it. He likes it here. J.B. Bickerstaff likes it here. And we saw how he could be used last year. And he could just easily come back and be put into that role. But the variable with Kevin that has always been there is that this was his year where his contract became expiring, and that gives him more league-wide value. On top of the way that he played last year, and on top of the way that he blended into a winning team in that particular role, which also raised his value, you know, his contract makes him valuable. His contract is one that teams that are looking to clear cap space for the summer of 2023 could actually want. And it's no longer the Cavs having to dump him and attach a future first-round pick or a young promising player to him. Now there's inherent value in just his contract. So if, and this is a big if the Cavs want to go hunting for a star, and if they want to shake up this roster in a significant way, Kevin is the tool to do that without having to aggregate salaries of guys that they probably don't want to get rid of. So if they want to have those kinds of conversations, Kevin becomes the starter, the centerpiece of the trade, not in terms of attractiveness, but the guy that they base it all around. Then they find the other pieces to attach to him that the other team would also want. That's if they want to go that direction. He gives them an avenue to go down there.
That was a phenomenal explanation. Now, Caris LeVert, Caris LeVert's also in the last year of a contract. His contract, about $10 million less than Kevin's. Is Caris in a similar situation as far as what you just laid out about Kevin?
Yeah, I think so. And look, they can have extension talks with Caris coming up in August. But he didn't earn a contract extension. To me, contract extensions have to be earned. So the Cavs and Caris, they're going to talk. They're going to try and figure out if there's something that can be done that is team-friendly for multiple years. But over the last 2 months after they got him from Indiana, he wasn't good. Now, there were circumstances attached to why he wasn't so good. He was injured. Jared Allen was injured. Allen was supposed to be his pick-and-roll partner. Caris was getting adjusted to a new role, a new team, a new system, a new coach. J.B. Bickerstaff was trying to learn how to use him as well. So you can justify what you saw from Caris over the final 2 months. But while doing that, that doesn't mean you have to turn around and give him $20 million a year on a longer-term deal. So I think the Cavs could easily just wait it out with Karras, or they could try and explore a trade. You know, part of the thing with Agbaji is he's more of a two than a three, and Kobe Altman admitted that last night when I asked him about it. That's a crowded position potentially for the Cavs. Yep. That's Isaac Okoro. That's potentially Colin Sexton. That's Karis LeVert. So maybe because of Karis's contract situation and because he didn't perform all that well over the final 2 months, I think it's entirely possible that the Cavs see what kind of market is out there for Karis in a trade. And if they can find a better fitting player that they can bring back with Karras used as a piece in order to get that guy, certainly think it's something that they will explore. And they should.
Chris Fedor joining us, covers the Cavs for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. So take a look at what's here right now on this roster. And as we said, a lot of guys under contract. A lot of guys you'd actually want to play, Chris. If you're guessing and just thinking right now, how does this stack out? Who do you see where and as your starting five and then maybe the three or four guys getting significant minutes off the bench?
Well, I think you can say, again, barring what else happens throughout the course of this offseason, I think you can say the projected starting five with what's currently on the roster is the one that they wanted to see for months after trading for Karis LeVert. It's Darius Garland, it's Karis LeVert, it's Lauri Markkanen, Evan Mobley, and Jaren Allen. They got 24 minutes together. It happened in the Atlanta game in the play-in tournament.
And it was a really good 24 minutes, right?
Great 24 minutes. Decimated Atlanta. Net rating of 17. Really positive things from that group. It was only one matchup against the Hawks, too. It's not like it was the Bucks or the Boston Celtics or something like that. And beyond that, I would say X player who's not quite here yet to be the backup point guard, it could be Ricky Rubio. My sources tell me there remains mutual interest in that kind of reunion. Ricky likes it here. The Cavs like it here. In fact, multiple people inside the Cavs organization are counting him as one of the 15 players on this roster.
Wow.
I'm not ready to go that far, but that's how much, you know, the two sides want that to happen. So you could say X player to be the backup point guard is in that mix. Kevin Love. Agbaji has to be part of that because I think his shooting skill is a weapon for this team that they didn't have before last night's draft. Now you're out of spots in the eight-man rotation, right? The ninth would probably be Isaac Okoro / Dylan Windler / Jetty Osman, depending on kind of what the Cavs need that night, depending on how the game's going, depending on how the matchup is. It's very, very crowded. And then Colin Sexton, if he's brought back, would also be part of that mix as well.
All right, Chris, we have time for one more question. I just want your reaction to this for a guy that used to sit in your seat that wrote this. Brian Windhorst said, this is something that no one is talking about, but is obviously a big thing that could impact next season. Love talking about LeBron. If he doesn't extend, he plays out the year with the Lakers and tries to make the best of it, and we start counting the Cleveland Cavaliers cap space. What's your reaction to that?
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think that's fair. I don't know that the Cavs are in a position where they like have LeBron at the top of their offseason board, and it's like they're beholden to that, and they're not going to make any opportunistic moves that come their way. Because they're holding that space for LeBron. I don't sense that. I don't think they're still in that place where they need LeBron to be that kind of savior the way that it was in 2014. But I do think they're going to be cognizant about the cap space that they add or subtract going into the 2023 offseason, just in case. You know, like, for example, adding Gordon Hayward and subtracting Kevin Love would be adding $30 more million for an extra year. I don't think the Cavs are willing to do that kind of thing because that's pretty significant. But like I said, I don't think, you know, looming LeBron in 2023 is going to prevent them from, you know, making moves that are going to better themselves or put themselves in position to chase a playoff spot that they want.
Do you see him on the roster at some point in the, before his career is over? Yes or no?
I have been saying for months that this is the kind of roster that makes a lot of sense for LeBron at the end of his career. This is the kind of roster that LeBron has always envisioned for himself at the end of his career. You know, that's part of the reason why he teamed up with Kyrie Irving. You know, when I was going to start to wind down, when I didn't want to be, you know, the guy for everything, it was going to make sense just to pass that torch to Kyrie here in Cleveland. That's part of why Anthony Davis was brought to Los Angeles. As LeBron started to tail off, if that was ever going to happen, then there was somebody else to step up to go into that star role, that focal point role, that number one guy in the franchise role, and it was supposed to be Anthony Davis. But that hasn't worked out that same kind of way. So for LeBron, like, I think he no longer is at the point in his career where he wants to be Mr. Everything, right? Like, everything with the organization is about him, and he's the guy who is going to lift the organization all by himself. Like, he did that long enough.
Right.
He did that for multiple organizations. So coming here, there are guys that this could be built around with LeBron being a piece of that rather than being the piece of that. So this is the kind of situation that I have always felt like makes sense for LeBron. And of course, there are the Cleveland ties as well that you can never rule out.
Right. All righty, Chris. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We always appreciate your time. Great coverage. Make sure everyone, I mean, he was up all night last night writing for you. So you need to read his stuff.
And up this morning talking for us.
That's right. Chris, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, bud.
You got it, guys.
Thanks,
anytime,
man. Chris Fedor on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.